supposed to say that I have no relationships. I'm single, or whatever that's worth, which is probably why. This is going to be slightly different than some of the other presentations you may have been seeing. I'm not an academic. I have pretended to be one on several occasions with varying degrees of success, so this is going to be more of a pop kind of a thing. What I'd like you to do is just assume with me here, if hopefully you're on board with this, that fatherhood is a health issue. It's come up a lot in different presentations. If you don't think that it is a health issue, hold on to that skepticism and hopefully we'll disabuse you of that in a little bit. So what I want to do very, very quickly is go through some of the reasons why I think fatherhood is a health issue, some of the benefits that fathers do impart on their kids. Just looking at preconception and prenatal, I just came from a panel, really great panel on preconception and prenatal. We know for a fact that when dads smoke, when they drink, when they work with hazardous chemicals, that produces pretty bad outcomes. It also damages sperm. Bad sperm equals childhood problems later on. Prenatally, when dads are involved, this is one of the most important things. When dads are involved during the pregnancy period, they are involved later on. And the more involved they are during pregnancy, the more involved they're going to be. So that's something that we really need to do if we're going to have the kind of benefits that we need to have. Kids, intellectually, they have higher IQs, they've got better grades on the social front, they've got more friends, they're more mature, they have fewer behavioral problems, less aggressive. What's really interesting is looking at the research, they're actually more empathetic, and that's something that's directly resulting from the father's involvement, and I think it comes from having wrestled with a number of kids. There's just a limited amount of times you're going to let yourself be popped in the mouth before you tell your kid to stop doing that, and they learn how to regulate their emotions. They learn a little bit of empathy for the poor father who has to go stuff cotton up his nose to stop the bleeding. Problem solving is another interesting thing. This comes from dads being a little bit tougher on their kids, dads waiting for their kids to get up a little bit longer. I know you can do it. They tend to be more resilient. They tend to be more, they stick to it a little bit more. They put in a little bit more effort on very difficult challenges. This is a really interesting one as well. Protecting against risky behavior. We hear a lot about this, and it's come up a number of times today. There's actually just a study last week talking about how dad's attitude about sexuality, talking to teenagers, influences the kid's early or late development of sexual behavior. It's a very interesting thing, and again, that was more related to the father than to the mother. They're also, when dads are involved with teenagers in particular, they're less likely to get involved to become teen parents. They're less likely to get involved in drugs and alcohol. They're less likely to have to be arrested and be involved in criminal kinds of things. Kids, education, and dads is a tremendously important thing. Kids are half as likely or twice as likely to get straight A's when dad is involved, when he's doing homework with them, when he's actively engaged. They're about a third as likely to be expelled from school, and more, they go on to college in greater numbers and greater successes. And then poverty, we all know what goes on with poverty. Kids who grow up in a home where there's not an actively involved father, and it could be a father, actual biological father, could be a father figure as well, when that male role model is not there, five times more likely to grow up in poverty. We all know poverty equals lower education, lower health outcomes, and all the kinds of things that none of us want to have. So women also benefit tremendously from having dads involved. They have less stress, which also is one of the things that reduces low birth weight, reduces stress, which is directly resulting from stress in pregnant mothers. The pregnancies are healthier. There's a better division of labor. There are two things that couples argue about most, money and division of labor. And when dads are more involved, there's less of an argument about division of labor. There's going to be more family harmony, more moving towards things. There's more freedom, which is a really interesting thing. I hear this from mothers that I work with all the time about when the dad is not involved, they feel, it sounds bad to say this, but that they feel sometimes chained to their kids, that they can't do anything. They can't take classes. They can't go out with their friends. They can't have other kinds of relationships. So having the dad more involved gives the moms more freedom, and that leads directly to career advancement. You can't, if you haven't got the dad there who's going to pick up the kids when they're sick, mom cannot be the one who's going to be moving through the corporate ladder. Very important stuff. Fathers also themselves, men benefit tremendously from being involved, the whole process of being involved. I hear this, I work with a lot of expectant fathers and new couples, and the thing that comes up over and over again is, they say in a variety of different ways, they have a broader emotional repertoire. There's something about becoming a parent that gets you in touch with unconditional love, which I don't think exists too terribly much between adults, just kind of being on the receiving end or the giving end of unconditional love is a pretty odd thing sometimes. But then there's also the blinding fury, I want to throw this kid out the window, which also is something that only a child can evoke in a parent. But those are things that we generally don't have. People who don't have kids may not have that, quite be in touch with both sides of that. Dads, this is another thing kind of my work with not the type of fathers and the fathers is dads kind of come into the whole parenting thing feeling a little bit out of sorts, not quite sure what they're doing. There's something magical about a baby cries, you go pick up the baby, you get the baby to stop crying, however that happens. So the baby kind of begins to say, oh, I can count on this guy. And the dad says, hey, I can do this dad thing. I'm going to come back and do that again. So this builds a really nice feedback loop, which is exactly what we want. Decrease in negative behavior and health is also something that happens. You've got guys who are selling their Harley. They don't bungee jump quite as much as they used to anymore. I happen to have given up my big sacrifices. I give up running red lights when I realized I had some place to be. It was a big concession, I've got to tell you. But those are the kinds of things that happen. Also healthy behaviors, eating better, stopping smoking, exercising more. And then it's kind of summing it up, generally speaking. Society benefits tremendously from having dads involved. And there's something that happens, I think almost every parent probably has this moment, where there's a transition from driving down the highway and you see a bunch of trash, and you say, damn it, you know, somebody ought to do something about that. And then when you have kids, you begin to think, I'm going to do something about that. And it's a shift. It's a subtle shift, but a tremendously important one, where we begin to want to make the world ours. That the world is a bigger place. It's a more important place. And our kids are not going to grow up in a world that, you know, was before you had kids, you didn't really realize it was that kind of world. Schools do a lot better. They perform better. They have higher grades, higher scores on all of the measurable school things. Teachers are much more happy when dads are involved. They also perform better. Communities, generally speaking, when dads are involved in all of the kinds of things I was talking about before, less violence. When a father is there to explain to the little boys and little girls around that being a man does not involve having to beat somebody up or rob a liquor store. That's not what masculinity is about. Those are the kinds of things when the dads are involved, when they're engaged, they develop these kinds of skills and communities benefit tremendously. So there are a ton of things obstacles that get in the way between fathers being involved with their kids. And this is something I've written about extensively. The biggest one, and we can talk about the other stuff for a long, long time, but I think for the purpose of this conversation, the biggest one really is about communication, the way that we're communicating with fathers or not communicating with fathers. And I want to take you through some places where the communication is not really what it ought to be. In schools, first of all, very, very few male teachers, which is subtly showing kids that there's dads don't care. I heard the story a number of times, so it was not just a one-off kind of a thing. Moms coming up to me at presentations I'm doing at schools and saying, you know, my husband used to volunteer at the school, and the principal came up and said, you know, could you not come anymore because you're making the moms uncomfortable? And that kind of thing is not a helpful kind of a thing. And then there's also just the idea, and this is kind of a my way of looking at the world, but when a kid comes home with an invitation to join the PTA, or to get involved in some sort of after-school activity, dads translate PTA into MOM, basically. And it's like, this isn't for me. And so we're not communicating with them in an appropriate way. The result of that is that kids don't think that dads care and that dads just don't participate. So looking at healthcare, this has kind of come up at a variety of different presentations that I've been with. When an expectant father goes to the OB visits with his wife, he usually gets, and this is not, hope none of you will be offended by this, but this tends to be statistically the way it plays out, he tends to be shoved off to the side, and nobody really pays that terribly much attention to him. And then later on, when he's got the kids, the hours are not particularly dad-friendly, so the dads are not showing up for the pediatrician visits. It's another one of these situations where the message to dads is, you're not really that important, get out of the way. And the result of that is we have a bunch of dads who don't participate as much as they should and as much as they should. Just this is a huge topic, just the whole divorce industry, and the short version of it is that for the most part, moms get that physical custody much more than fathers do. Dads are much more likely to get legal custody. And we have a tremendously robust system of enforcing child support, and we have a completely inadequate system of enforcing visitation or access. So it's perfectly permissible for the custodial parent to deny the father, usually it's the father, the right to see the kids, but it's not okay to not pay child support. And I'm not advocating either one of those. I'm just saying that if you get to a sort of a second grade, if I can't play first base, I'm not going to let you have my bat and ball. I'm going to go home. That sort of a thing. And the message, again, is you're not important. And the result of that is you have a bunch of guys who don't pay child support, you have a bunch of guys who are deprived of a relationship with their children, and you have a bunch of guys who sometimes just say, it's not worth it, I'm going to back out of the whole thing. Not what we want. So military is something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, having, as Adam said, I was in the Marine Corps. The programs that we have for deployment, they're completely inadequate. We're not preparing fathers for the way their life is going to change. There are all these programs out there, Michelle Obama and Joe Biden, and I've interviewed Joe Biden about this. They have all these programs for military families. But what that means is the folks back home. It does not include the soldiers themselves. They're supposedly kind of just out their own. There are occasionally pre-deployment prep, but it's not really teaching them enough. And there are occasional issues about how to communicate during the deployment, and that's not enough as well. And the problem with that is there's been a lot of research on this, showing that when the dads feel connected to the families while they're gone, before they leave, when they know what's going to happen, and when they're gone, when they feel connected to the family, they come home, and the effects of PTSD are mitigated somewhat. You're not going to get rid of it completely. But imagine if you come home, and this is what happens. You've been gone a year or 6 months. You walk into a family where nobody knows you. Nobody needs you anymore. At least that's what it feels like. And there is a direct line between coming home and being perceived as a stranger or useless and the tremendously high suicide rates that we see and the tremendously high divorce rates that we see in the military. So we're not communicating with dads. Again, we're saying not important. You are not important. This is that little graphic there is something that I just yesterday saw this and thought it was such an interesting thing. You may not realize it, but that is a subtle discouragement for a guy to go change a diaper someplace. I mean, those are not two things that I put together. They're right next to each other in the main room over there. Kind of on the topic of bathrooms, the kinds of things that will come up. I would hear these stories from a friend of mine, and I wasn't able to replicate it myself, but he told me he goes into a bathroom with his two-year-old at Costco. I love Costco. Can't say a bad thing about them. He comes out, and there's a supervisor standing there saying, if you ever come in here and take your two-year-old, the daughter, by the way, into the bathroom, we are going to call the police. And he says, and I didn't even have to coach him on this, we've been talking about this thing for years, but he says, if a woman came in and took her two-year-old into the women's bathroom, would anybody say anything? No. So it's like, what are you supposed to do? Send a two-year-old girl to the women's bathroom by herself? It's idiotic. But that is kind of the way we do things. And then constantly hear from stay-at-home fathers or fathers who are able to take off in the middle of the day. They're at a park and people say, hey, you babysitting? No, not babysitting. I'm involved here. This is what I do. I'm a dad. But there are these perceptions that dads are not quite there. And then this responsible fatherhood. The problem with responsible fatherhood, it's a lovely phrase, but it says to the people who it's aimed at, you are irresponsible, because otherwise we would be talking about something else. And so I'm going to talk about this later, but we need to ban that phrase from discussions about fatherhood and getting dads involved. So again, the message is, you're not important. And the result of that is dads don't take their kids to the park. Dads don't go shopping with their kids because people are always going to say, well, where's the mom? I mean, I've got three daughters. I have to take them underwear shopping periodically. Well, that's what you do. They need underwear. But having to deal with the sales clerks, and it's not just me. It happens constantly. And then at home, this is a slightly controversial thing. So here's the way it works out. Researchers go into families, couples, and they talk to the mom, and they say, what does your husband do? How involved is he? And usually the result is something like, well, I do X, and he does 0.7X, and the guy's a slacker, and I'm not really happy with that. And then they talk to the guy, same family, talk to the guy and say, what are you doing? How involved are you? And the guys will say, well, I do Y, and my father didn't do anything. Or the guy down the street doesn't do anything at all. So you have this situation where mom is not at all happy, dad is very happy, and it's the same family and the same people involved. And what happens in the part of the research that doesn't get talked about that much is you follow up these questions. Moms will generally say, yes, I want my husband to be more involved, but not quite as involved as I am. And there can be these subtle barriers that go up, and this is never malicious, but I mean, I've seen this play out, and you probably have seen this kind of thing play out. If, you know, dad's sitting there with a baby, and the baby obviously needs to be changed, everybody can tell. And, you know, the mom comes in and says, hey, let me do that. Or, you know, they're about to go out, she's going to go out with her girlfriends, dad's going to stay at home, here's a list of things to do. These PJs, this song, this lullaby, peas and carrots on the plate they can't touch, you know, there's a big long list, and you think how wonderful that is. But what's happening is she is depriving him of the opportunity to do what she did, which was make 3,000 mistakes. And the only way that you get to be a confident and competent father is the same way you get to be a competent and competent mother, is by making a bunch of mistakes. And so those little things, and again, they're not malicious, but the result of those things is you end up with mommy's little helper instead of a father who's on an equal plane with mommy. And mommy's little helper is not really what mommies want. They want a guy who's going to be actually there doing stuff. So this is kind of my favorite thing. I could talk about this one for hours. But the another communication issue, how it breaks down, is the very first thing I ever wrote was a piece on the portrayal of fathers in children's literature, which is pretty bad. And I did this in a completely unscientific way by going down to the library and looking at a couple hundred books with the librarian. A few years ago, there was a team of researchers who looked at 200 of the best-selling children's books ever, and they did this in a very scientific way. And they came up with exactly the same conclusions that I did, which was almost no dads in children's books. And when they are there, they're not terribly engaged. And out of the 200 books, they found exactly that many instances of a father kissing a child. That's not what we need. We need to be showing dads in a different sort of a way. Television is one of my favorite things to complain about. Think of all these guys, and there are others, but these are kind of the big ones that get into our images. This is what fathers are on television. They're idiots for the most part. Their wives don't look at them as being equal players. Their kids certainly would never go to them for advice. And they are continually made fun of. And then on the advertising side, which is even worse in a way because it over and over and over again, these are the kinds of things that we see over and over again. Dr. Mom for Robitussin, Choosy Mothers Choose Jif. Jif has, admittedly, they have gone to every once in a while now, Choosy Parents Choose Jif, but they usually fall back to the Choosy Mothers. Kid tested, mom approved. And then the one that just really kind of set me on the warpath 4 years ago, and then this is the one from 4 years ago, and this is the one from just this year. My kids had to finally ask me to leave the room because I was screaming at the television every time these things came on. But it's like, of all the things, of all the areas where a father's influence is seen most, it's sports. And there is no question, there's been study after study about this, the ones who, you can probably talk about this, the people who are getting the kids involved in the sports, the people who are up until 2 in the morning working on their pitching game or, you know, taking them skiing, the ones who are doing all this stuff are the dads. Not that the moms aren't doing it, but to say thank you, mom, and not to mention dad one single time, I found rather offensive. So the message to dads overall is you're not wanted, you're not needed, you're not terribly important, and, you know, we're kind of getting along just fine without you, which is, I don't think, a particularly healthy message. And there are other people who are getting this message as well, which is kind of sad. And you end up with moms who are kind of trained by these messages to see themselves as the primary caretaker exclusively. They're kind of trained themselves to see their husband as less than adequate parenting, which doesn't get them to be encouraged to come. You get a bunch of little boys who grow up saying, I don't want to do this dad thing because people are just going to laugh at me. There's no sense in it. And you get a bunch of little girls who are growing up saying, no sense in having involved father be a qualification that I'm looking for in somebody that I'm going to go out with because all the messages tell me that I'm just better off doing it myself. And again, we end up, the result of that is that we end up with another generation, just like the one we have now, where things are not the way that they ought to be. So let me tell you about some things as a kind of what we ought to be doing about this. I'm out of time. Okay. Anyway, so the things that I think we need, I'm not a big believer in affirmative action in most cases, but I think we kind of do need a little bit of affirmative action in this way. We know the impact of media messages. We have, as a culture, we've moved from mailman, policeman, army man, to mail carrier, police officer, firefighter, the men and women of the military, even though almost all those are exclusively male, or 90-something percent male, particularly the men and the women in the military. We do that because we want our girls to grow up thinking that they can do anything they want to do. There's no question about that. But we continue to view fathers and present fathers in exactly the same way that we always have. We need to stop doing that. We need to show fathers actively engaged in their kids' lives, because that's the way they are. And then we need to go a step further and show them the way that we'd like them to be. If you want them to be more involved, show them as more involved instead of less involved. Looking at the positive versus the negative is an incredibly important thing. This has come up in a number of presentations. We need to be educating fathers in particular, but also mothers and everybody else around them, about the tremendously important impact that fathers have on their kids, going back to the very first couple slides I showed you. Dads don't know that. I mean, this comes up when the guys that I'm working with all the time, they don't know. And if you don't know how important you are, and you don't know how independent that is of the mom, and just you being there is so important, if you don't know that, you're not going to be there. You're not going to be involved. So we need to get them to understand. And again, we need to ban the phrase responsible fatherhood. We need to be doing outreach in schools. Got to hire more male teachers so that kids can have an actual male there. I mean, my kids went to private schools for most of their up until high school, actually through high school, and almost the only males that they still saw in a educational context, besides me coming in to volunteer, were the Hispanic janitors. It's like that's, you know, I'd like to have a man associated with a different sort of a thing than that kind of thing. We also need to be pitching PTAs in a more family-friendly way. We need to be getting dads to do the pitching to the moms or to the other dads and say, hey, come on over here. This is a cool thing to do. But that's not going to happen if moms are doing the presenting, because dads will continue to see that it's not their place. Doctors, so I talked a little bit about this before with the OBs and the pediatricians. You need to, if you are in that kind of situation, you need to ask. You need to say, hey, how are you doing? Hey, you got a question? Hey, you know, a lot of dads think this. What do you think about that? This is something you need to be. Are you feeling depressed? I mean, whatever it is, what can we do to help you? How can we encourage you to be more involved? When the dads get that kind of that feedback and that encouragement and that engagement, they're going to be more involved. The research community, this is also something, and I know that a few minutes from now, I've got to leave and go teach my class at California Pacific Hospital here in San Francisco. And the class used to be called For Expectant Fathers. Now it's called For Expectant Fathers Only, as of a couple of years ago, because women kept coming to the class. I mean, look around here. This is a thing on men and their more. So women were coming to the class, and the result of that was that fathers would not talk. They wouldn't say anything about their kids. And when I finally had to ban the women from the class, the men would talk. They'd engage. They'd talk about what's going on with them, about their fears, their hopes, their joys, whatever. Even some stuff about their wife. That, you know, she's moody or whatever. You can't do that in front of your own wife. It's not going to happen. So if you were conducting research, you may want to think about having more men conduct the research, because having a bunch of women asking men questions about stuff, you may not get the kinds of answers that really are accurate answers. And if you're doing any kind of work with fathers, having a woman tell a man how to be a father is not a particularly effective way of getting the message across. It needs to come more from, not that women can't do it, and women do have done wonderful work, and the presentation, there were three women, great stuff. I mean, I'm not belittling that in any way, but just as far as if getting the message across to people, the communication that we're talking about, really should be done a little bit more from men. Advertising messages, the whole thing that I just ran through. I started a petition that's long gone about to try to get Procter & Gamble to do something about that. Completely ignored me. But I mean, that's something that we can do as individuals, as members of various groups. We can push advertisers to stop doing this and to say, it wouldn't kill anybody to say, hey, thank you, mom and dad. How bad is that? And we get a much more desired effect. And the reality is, I've talked to a lot of advertising people, that there's sort of this initial fear that, well, women buy most things, and so if we include a bunch of fathers, they're going to be alienated. The reality is, moms really like to see involved dads, because they want to say, hey, Bob, look at this. This, you can do that. And so it's wrong to assume that it's not going to happen. All right. And the advertisers. Okay, so the, I just want to leave you with this, and generally try not to read things, but as a society, I think hopefully I've got you convinced that you know, fatherhood is a health issue and that we really need fathers to be more involved. If we're going to achieve that goal, we really have to give dads the tools, the education, the resources, and more important than anything is the active support that they need to be the kind of fathers that they want to be and that their kids want them to be, and that it benefits society when they are. So, thank you. And that's if I have to...